told you nothing's going to be the same this morning. I was going to say earlier that my message today comes as an answer to Jim's message. I think that second song there just gave us the answer to everything. I'm going to be speaking out of the book of Psalms today, chapter 37. It's going to be verses 1 through 8. I'll give you a little background of those verses. First of all, it's a continuation of chapters 35 and 36. And the problem we have here is David has gotten word that people are concerned because they're doing everything right and they're not getting anywhere. You ever been in that boat? You know, you try your best, you don't do anything. You don't get enough money, you don't get enough food, whatever. But the people here in the Jewish people were complaining because the ones that who weren't doing all the right things was getting rich. They were being fed. They're just prospering. So they went to David, and I guess he's asking for some wisdom. He said, why can't we get the same thing these wicked people are getting? If you look over in the first part of chapter 36, it kind of lays out the groundwork. It says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They're doing stuff that's according to the Mosaic law. They like the law, they obey the law, but they forget one thing. They forget to talk about God. They left him out of the equation. But they're still doing well. And I guess it's kind of like when you got a job and you are trying your best to get to the top rung of the ladder and you're not going anywhere. You just give up. David's telling his people here, don't give up. There's a reason for all this. And I'm going to start in chapter 37, verse 1, read through verse 9. Verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. In verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. That first verse, they use the word fret. The Hebrew translation of that basically means don't be angry or don't be jealous because somebody's doing better than you are. This was the main problem of keeping the people from being prosperous. Well, they think they should have had more than they were getting because all the other evildoers were doing better. They got jealous and they were starting to turn away from God. These evildoers are those who identified as the ones that are wicked by design, and because God is forced to endure. And that's something we always hear. God is forced to endure some of these wicked people. That's kind of like the question people ask, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? It's I guess you want to call it a given, because if you're going to have some bad stuff in your life, and if you look at the whole picture of the thing, the bad get bad stuff, the bad get good stuff, the good get bad stuff, and the good get good stuff. So it all fell in plan. It's not to do with whether or not God's picking on somebody. Second reason is because there are so many in numbers. And I guess from what I'm reading here is that there were more wicked than there were the righteous. And the third is because they're successful and prosperous through their acts. That's why people thought, since they were prosperous, their wickedness is paying off. It says, neither thou be envious against the workers of iniquity, because all these people that we just described are getting more prosperous. Don't think because you go and turn away from God that you're going to get any better. God's got a plan for all of us, and it's part of that plan is that he wants those to be obedient to prosper. And we'll see further down the verses that the ones that practice iniquity are going to be destroyed. They're going to be judged, just like we're all going to be judged, but there's a difference in the type of judgment. Don't become discontent about yourself. Don't feel bad about yourself because you're not being prosperous. God's probably got you where he wants you. That's something you got to remember always. Trust in him to put you where he wants you, not where you want to be. I mean, we've seen a lot of that lately in the presidential elections. There were two people who wanted to be in the same boat. The boat wasn't big enough to carry them both. And God was gracious enough to make one person, not two people, a singular president. So it's all in God's plan, not that we have anything to do with it. And it's what David's trying to explain to these people. It's not because of what you're doing, it's what God's doing. If you fail, you're probably going to go back and whine a little bit, cry a little bit. You're going to pout because you didn't get what you wanted. Been in there, I've done it. Some of the things I used to think back in the job I had is promotional exams. I always thought I was going to come out number one and get promoted. It took 15 years to get promoted. It's what God wanted. I wasn't ready in 3 years or 4 years. He knows when we're ready to move along. 15th year, I got promoted. Verse 2, it said, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass. It's using grass and agriculture. That's something that was done a lot in the Old Testament. The agriculture and grass and water and all the examples that they use for matching people with how they're grown. Trust in the Lord. It means trust in and do good, so that thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. There's four things there that need to be remembered. First thing is we've got to trust in the Lord. Trust in God. You confide in Him and let Him take whatever action He wants to take on us. Not try to force Him to do what we want Him to do. To do good means that we're to apply ourselves to doing good. That doesn't mean being good. That's doing good. Doing good means that we're helping others. We're obedient to what God wants us to do. And basically living a good, clean life like God wants us to, in His plan. It said so that the result is that you'll dwell in the land. That means that all the things that we've gotten from God is like when they were sent to the people were sent to the promised land. They were promised abundance of food and just everything. They were to live in luxury. Some of them didn't buy into it. It's got to be something that's pleasing. He said, and the result of that, we shall be fed. Now that doesn't mean we're going to get steak every night. That fed means fed by the Word of God. That's something we've been doing in our Sunday school lesson the last month or so, reading the Bible and getting God's Word. What's God telling us to do? That's the feeding that we're supposed to be expecting. And the more we obey, the more we get fed. And as we know, the more we eat, the bigger we get. I don't mean to offend anybody, because I'm in that boat too. But just the fact that the Word is going to, first of all, enlighten you to what God wants you to do. And you don't have to worry about these people from the wicked people that you're so concerned about, the ones that you're trying to imitate. You'll get your own version of prosperity from God. And that's what the whole thing David's trying to tell people. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, which means dwell comfortably. Don't have to expect to have more than what you need, and you'll be fed through the Word. You'll continue to be in your righteous state. Number four, verse four, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of thine heart. That doesn't mean He's going to give you everything you want. Those desires of your heart should be the desires of God's heart. Those things that we have to do to be righteous and stay righteous is what we're to do other than the little frivolous things, the little things that material things that we all always want. We ought to be concerning ourselves with the fact that we're to please God, not ourselves. As long as we're pleasing Him, we will still prosper. I keep thinking back to the book of Job. Job is probably one of the best books you can read about the suffering. You see people that don't don't believe with God's helping Job out. And Job is accused of being a sinner. He wants the people want Job to leave God's side. Wants him to just forsake God and go on and be like they are. That's what you're going to find with these workers of iniquities, as David calls them. What David's trying to tell them is that don't go down that path. You've got to commit yourself unto the Lord. That's verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust in him also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Simply stated, it means that you'll get a happy result by following God. That's a lot of words for just a short sentence. In verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And this is referring to, if you're slandered, somebody bad mouths you, tells you, basically discredits you. And I think we've all been there one time or another. People will say something about you that's not quite true, and things will tend to make it look like you're not a righteous person, or you're probably an ugly person, you're a mean person, whatever. If you're slandered, you've got a defense attorney to go to battle for you, just like a court. Court has the defense attorney to come up and will give you evidence to the contrary of any accusations. They'll defend you before the judge. He'll present that evidence knowing your righteous character, not the fact that you're like somebody tells you, makes a lie about you. That your character as a good person may often appear indefensible because the lie is brought on by the wicked. And if anybody's ever experienced somebody lying about you behind your back, you know what the results can be. But you've got a God that will come to you and defend that. And the person who is making the accusations is usually discredited, not you. He'll see that you get a just sentence. We're still talking in the format of a court. You get a just sentence and your character will be restored. And it's about the noonday. It says, thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. That means that your righteousness is going to shine forth. That's what he wants, is his people to shine, to be the beacon, to be a representative of him here on earth. You know, if we live like God wants us to live, then it shows. And that term noonday, that's the brightest time of the day. That's why they say the brightest is the noonday, or the commentary says it was a double light. It's twice as bright as the rest of the day. That means your righteousness is going to have a double light. It's going to be twice as bright as the person of iniquity. In the key verse, in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Now this is a key verse because, again, we talked about this in our Sunday school. Sometimes we pray for something and we want it right now. What you pray for may not come right now. It might be a week down the road, it might be two or three days down the road. It might be a month down the road. But it's not like he's forgotten you. So we're to rest in him, wait for him, be silent, be quiet and listen. It's one of the worst things we have a problem with is listening sometimes. And everywhere you go, people say that they want to talk a lot. Personally, I've never learned anything by talking. You got to listen. You got to listen a little bit and listen. See what God's telling you to do. Sometimes it may not be what you want to hear. Sometimes you may say, I can do it better. I don't have to listen to nobody. You ever heard a person say that? I don't have to listen to anybody. Especially little kids, they don't listen very well. If you brought up kids and they're grown, they can probably remember times when they were rebellious against mom or dad. You know, they didn't want to listen because they knew how to do it. I try to emphasize in my Sunday school that you read your Bible and you get in a quiet place away from everything, all the distractions, and just be quiet and read. I don't mean just read over and say, read the words, read the meaning. See what God's trying to tell you. Then you can wait for him to verify that that's what he means for you to do. He may want you to go somewhere that's halfway across the world to serve in the missions. And several times you're going to say, I don't want to go to the missions. I don't do missions. That's too far away. I have to go away from home. I'll miss everybody. They're all excuses. But you better listen to what he says, because if he tells you the first time, it's usually right. He wants to send you to a mission trip. You go on a mission trip. Too many times the people that don't have the patience. That's a big thing about this world today. There's no patience in this world. Being quiet and listening takes patience. You got to listen a long time. And just like I said, everything here that's in this world today is rush. We got to get it done now. Wait patiently what he says. You know, if you think, you know, don't try to make your mind up what God wants you to do. He's already made it up for you. You know, you don't have to worry about making plans or anything. He's got the plans laid out. All you have to do is obey what he says and start moving. He'll guide you wherever you need to be. That's one of the things that people were having a problem here with, this trying to be like the wicked folks. You know, we listen to the law and we do what the law says, but we don't do what God says. And that was the big problem they were having here, is that they shoved God out of their lives. They hadn't. They thought they could do it on their own. And if you recall in the New Testament, you'll see a lot of emphasis on where the Pharisees had, how they were when they went to brag about how wonderful they were. They dressed really elaborately. They spoke big. They prayed loud in the squares. They did all that stuff as a matter of a show. It's not all a show. The true light of God will show through you if you're honest with yourself, honest with other people, and true to God. If you don't show the true God, chances are you won't get through to anybody that you're working with, trying to if they're lost, get them saved. They won't listen because they think you're trying to get them to be like you, not like God. And then you got to examine yourself. And in communion, we'll hear about examining yourself before taking communion. Is there stumbling blocks in there somewhere that might hinder you from doing what you're led to do? You notice I didn't say what you want to do, what you're being led to do. You know, we have to examine ourselves and make sure that that we're doing exactly what God's telling us to do. If we hold off on it, and you know, there's a chance we might lose out. Verse 8, cease from anger. This is another one of the things, other than impatience. People tend to get angry about fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't get angry because you're not getting your what you think is your just rewards. Don't get jealous because somebody's getting more than you. Stay away from the anger. Don't be concerned about changing your character to match that guy that's got the big Rolls Royce and the big mansion. God didn't mean for you to have that. If he had, you would have had it in the first place. So don't get mad because somebody else is doing it. Don't belittle yourself. And I guess we hear a lot of that about bullying in schools. Kids get so depressed and so, I guess they get angry because people are teasing them and people are trying to make them like somebody else. But God made you the way he wanted you to be. If you're being bullied, ignore the people. If you're being discredited, ignore the people. If you're getting led to another direction, ignore the people. And the whole bottom line was to trust God. Forsake wrath. That means if people are mad at you, don't worry about it. Just don't get mad back at them. Fret not thyself in any wise, in any way, to do evil. Don't allow your mind to become so excited that you indulge in harsh or malignant remarks. That means don't badmouth somebody else because you're not getting what you think you should have. Don't think that you're always right. You know, that's about as evil as you can be. You're never always right. Whatever you do, don't allow the context of what the people are trying to tell you fall over into your life. Don't let it, you know, don't change because people are telling you to change. If you're not changing, there's a reason for it. If you're solid in God, if you stick with him, then you're not going to want to change. It goes back to being saved. It's been 45 years, I think, since I was saved, and I can remember that day. I can remember I didn't want to do the old things anymore. And you can see that what people are telling these prosperous people are telling the ones that are concerned, the one talking to David, is the fact that they'll put pressure on you to change back. Don't try to go back to what you used to be. That's something that I don't miss. I can remember it, but I don't miss it a bit. Some of the stuff I did, I'm surprised at myself. Don't allow their conduct to be any way of leading you to into sin of any in any form. You got to check your own character and your own conduct first. And to summarize, we go to verse 11 through 17. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just. That's just what I said. They'll be plotting against you to change you back, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. And the best part to hear about it, the Lord shall laugh at him, and he shall see it. His day is coming. He's going to see that bit of judgment that's going to be coming. And God is going to basically, that judgment, you're not going to be concerned about going to heaven or going to hell. You're going to only got a one-way ticket to hell. I was going to end this up with the 23rd Psalm because it fits right in there, but you know, it's just kind of read over the 23rd Psalm and see what how that fits into what's been put out in this chapter here. We don't get an ending to this, but we can only suspect what happened. That when I talk about being right all the time, when God's always right, that conversion, that being that person who's in the crosshairs of these other people, they're going to get what they deserve. What we deserve is unexplainable. I just can't imagine when we leave this earth and go to heaven, to our permanent home, what it's going to be like. But that's what we got to look forward to. Not having to work our way through this old world down here trying to make our way and trying to please everybody, but we're not to please everybody. All we have to do is please God. And the way we do that is like the title says, trust in the Lord. Okay.